You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
So this morning, my message is titled, Did I Really Just Waste My Time? So have you ever spent a long time doing something only for it to turn out that it felt like a complete waste of time? Maybe you spent all day baking a cake and then you left it in the oven. That would feel like a complete waste of time. A couple of personal examples for me, you know, over the last 18 months with everything that's been going on in our world, there were moments where we're getting ready for Sunday services, you know, preparing to lead the church in worship, only to find out that we can't gather together and the plans have to change. You know, in those moments, it can feel like it was a waste of time. It can be a little bit disappointing. Maybe, you know, we were preparing dinner, getting the house ready for friends to come over, only to find out that it couldn't go ahead. And, you know, in these moments, feelings run through your head. You know, you get frustrated. You can think, you know, that was a bit of a waste of time. You know, it can be disappointing when things don't go to plan, when things don't pan out the way that you thought that they would. You know, I'm sure that we can all relate to this feeling in one way or the other. You know, maybe it's acts that you do that go unnoticed. Maybe it's that you might feel overlooked in the workplace. You know, you're putting in all this work and no one's noticing. You know, maybe you're preparing for something that gets cancelled or something that changes, or the result's just not what you expected. And you know, when our focus is on the fruit of our labor, we can become disappointed easily. You know, we can become disappointed easily when what we see in the natural doesn't line up with what our expectations were. When what we see and the result of what we're doing doesn't line up with what we thought was going to happen. You know, when we are results focused, we can easily become discouraged. But this morning, you know, it's my heart that you would know that your actions, your generosity, your work, the things that you do, you know, they're so much more valuable to God than just the result that we see. Because your actions themselves are an act of worship. Your actions, your generosity, your good deeds, they're an act of worship. And this morning I want to encourage you and share this revelation that I've had that has shifted my perspective. You know, it's helped me to walk through these moments of discouragement and disappointment, spurred on to greater things that lay ahead. So let's pray as we come around the word. Lord God, thank you for this time that we have together. God, thank you for this word that you've given to me. God, I pray that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds to receive the revelation from you. God, I just thank you for what you're doing in each of our lives. Amen. Amen. Well, let's read from Matthew chapter 13 from verse 1. It says, listen. A farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Now put yourself in the shoes of the farmer for a moment here. Now, how would you react in this situation? You know, you've spent all this time preparing the soil, working the earth. You know, you're expecting a great harvest only to plant some seeds and, you know, you start to see a little bit of something happening, but then nothing. You know, nothing happens. You know, you're waiting, you're being patient, but you can't see any results yet. You know, the farmer might start wondering why they wasted all that time planting those seeds for only a few of the crops to even pop up. You know, why do I even bother? The farmer might ask themselves. Was all that work, all that effort for nothing? But we see that the heart of the farmer was to continue to sow, because the story doesn't end there. You know, in verse 8, it says, still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. You know, be encouraged this morning that the impact of what you do can extend beyond what you can even see. You know, the impact of the seeds you sow, even the little ones, can extend beyond what you can even see. You know, so often we look for natural results from our supernatural seed that we plant. You know, we look for results in the natural when God's moving in the supernatural. You know, if the farmer hadn't continued to plant seed, if he'd become so discouraged that he gave up, then he wouldn't have seen the promised harvest. You know, if he had focused on the challenge, the disappointment, he might have missed the result. And just look at the result of what did grow. You know, the parable says it was multiplied over and over and over and over. You know, seed bears fruit that bears seed that bears fruit. That bears seed that bears fruit. You know, the seeds that you plant can continue to bear fruit and continue to bear seed. You know, the simplest of things can grow into something magnificent. You know, sometimes these things that seem like such a small investment, they can grow into something amazing. You know, when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us, you know, your work, your attitude, you know, when you exercise your God-given gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, that can have the power to change people's world. You know, we can get disappointed by our performance, but even the smallest things can bear great fruit because a supernatural seed brings a supernatural result. And the seeds that we plant are supernatural seeds. You know, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, it says, here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and the birds come and make nests in its branches. You know, even the smallest of seeds can grow into the largest of trees. You know, and I love that those two verses there, that it ends with the birds coming and making nest in the tree's branches. You know, the result of the seeds is that they bring life, and they bring life abundantly. You know, that same life that Jesus came to bring to us. You know, John chapter 10, verse 10 says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You know, the seeds that you sow can bring life into those around you. You know, the quality of the seed isn't the only factor in seeing growth. You know, in that parable, we saw that, you know, all the seed was the same. It wasn't the quality of the seed that mattered for how well it grew. There was a whole lot of other factors involved. You know, we can often look at the results and then measure our performance based on what we see. And I want to encourage you that just because when you've stepped out, when God's led you to do something, when you've been faithful, just because you've only seen limited results, that doesn't mean that what you did was wrong. It doesn't mean that what you did was wrong. It doesn't mean that the work that you did was inadequate. You know, it doesn't even mean that God isn't working in that situation. It doesn't mean that God isn't moving. Because even the best seed planted in the best soil can have challenges growing. You know, when you plant a seed, the environment that it's planted in has to accept the seed and allow it to grow. The environment has to allow it to grow. You know, when you sow seeds into people's lives, the way that they respond can be out of their hurts. It can be out of their experiences. And that's not a reflection on you. It's not a reflection on your faithfulness to God. You know, maybe we plant seeds through the way we live our lives, and sometimes the situation changes. Things happen. You know, maybe you have to cancel the dinner plans that you worked so hard to put together. But even the best seed planted in the best soil can have challenges growing. You know, just because the results you see aren't what you expected doesn't mean that your work wasn't right. Because the results you see are not a reflection on you. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. You know, when we're obedient to God in our work, in our generosity, in our going, it's God who brings the results. You know, the results are not a reflection on us. And can I encourage you that when it comes to our work, our generosity, and our going, our God is not results focused. He is people focused. God is focused on you. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 7 says, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. You know, God is interested in you. He's not interested in the results. You know, you are God's field. You know, as you go about your day, it's God does the work in you so that you can bear fruit. You know, we give out of what God has already put into us. You know, we give out of the gifts that God has given to us. We give out of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We give out of the things that He has provided, the opportunity that He gives us, the places that He appoints us to. You know, we give out of what God has already given to us. And from that same passage there, I want to encourage you that even if you don't see results today, the seeds that you plant today can be watered by somebody else. They can be nurtured by somebody else, cared for by somebody else, and then harvested later at the right time. Harvested later at the right time. You know, I love that the picture of the kingdom of God that this paints, that, you know, we work together in harmony. You know, we're all on the same mission. You know, it's not a competition. You know, you don't get brownie points for who can bring the most people to church. At youth, you might get a chocolate bar if you bring a friend. But it's not a competition. You know, we're working toward the same purpose. We're on this journey together. We're on this mission together. You know, to see people come to know Jesus, to experience His love and experience His freedom. And you know, in all of this, you know, God does call us to work hard. You know, we need to steward the gifts and the abilities that He's given to each of us. You know, that's not something that's skipped over in that passage, because our generosity and our going can take time. You know, it can take care, it's deliberate, and it can take some hard work. But what's important is that we know that this work doesn't earn us favor with God. You know, your work, your going doesn't earn you favor with God because you already have it. You know, Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 8 says, God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. No, it's not a competition. No, nobody can boast about it, because it's by grace that we have been saved. And you know, this idea, it goes beyond everything that we've been taught. You know, everything that we've been brought up to believe. You know, it's so countercultural. You know, there's so many areas of our society that are a meritocracy, to use a fancy word. Yeah. That's right, that's right. I'll explain it, it's okay. You know, it's countercultural because we go to school and it's performance-based. You know, you get marked on your performance. You know, you do an exam, you're marked on how well you did against everybody else. You know, you go to work and it's performance-based. You know, we have this drilled into us through our entire lives. But God's currency is different. You know, in the kingdom of God, grace is the only thing that matters. And His grace for us is freely given. It's not earned. It is freely given. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, each time He said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so the power of Christ can work through me. You know, God's grace is all you need. You don't need anything else. You know, the work that I'm talking about this morning, you know, these things are good. This is what God has created us to do. But God's grace is all you need. You know, this morning, if there's people here and you've been struggling through your life to try to earn God's grace, can this be a moment of freedom for you? You know, if you've been struggling to try to earn God's favor, to try to earn God's grace, His love, can I tell you that you already have it? You know, God wants to pour out His grace into your life. You don't need to earn it. You don't need to strive for it. You just have to receive it this morning. God's grace is all you need, and you can walk in the freedom that He has for you. You know, can I encourage you as well that nothing is ever misunderstood with God? Nothing is ever misunderstood with God. You know, He knows your very intentions. You know, He cares for you so deeply, and He knows your heart. God knows your heart. You know, nothing is ever misunderstood when it comes to God. Now, Psalm 139 from verse 1 says, O Lord, You have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. And you know, this verse for me, it's not about, you know, God surveilling you. It's not about God being big brother, but it speaks to me of His understanding. You know, that He's so close that He knows my heart. He knows my intention. You know, even when I feel like I've been misunderstood, that I can know that God has not misunderstood me. He knows my very heart. Nothing is ever misunderstood with God. You know, in our actions and our going, you know, we can learn to trust the process. You know, in the parable we read at the start, if the farmer had given up on planting the seed because he wasn't seeing the results, he wouldn't have produced the same crop. But he had to trust the process. He had to trust that God had it all under control. You know, we read earlier as well that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. You know, small things can grow into magnificent things. And you know, sometimes when it comes to the kingdom of God, we try to look at it from our own understanding. We try to work it out in our heads. But God's ways are higher than our ways. You know, sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. And we learn to trust the process. You know, Isaiah chapter 55 from verse 8 says, this is God speaking, I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work, God's decree. For as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. You know, there are times where God works in the suddenly and the results are immediately evident. You know, it's like an instant change. We see the results straight away. But there's times where God works in the process, slowly molding, slowly shaping. You know, Matthew chapter 13, verse 33 says, God's kingdom is like yeast that a woman works into the dough for dozens of loaves of barley bread and waits while the dough rises. You know, it takes time for dough to rise. You know, God is the God of the suddenly, but he's the God of the process as well. You know, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, but you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. Did you know that God's timing is always perfect? You know, what might feel like to us we're waiting a lifetime to see something happen, God's timing is always perfect. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. And from Isaiah 55 again, it says, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. You know, God's words will not come back empty-handed. You know, we can have trust and faith that God will direct our work, and it will complete the work that he designed it for. You know, and this happens when we humble ourselves and we allow God to work through what we're doing. You know, when we allow God to work through what we're doing, when we don't strive to make things happen, but we allow God to work in us and through us. You know, acknowledge that we can't do it on our own, and it's God who brings the result. You know, again, from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am able to boast about my weaknesses so the power of Christ can work through me. My grace is all you need. And now this powerful revelation that has changed the way I approach my work, the way I've approached my purpose, my giftings, my entire outlook on the way that I worship is that there's no such thing as wasteful worship. You know, before I had this revelation, I would often find myself discouraged that things didn't go the way that I'd planned, that I'd let myself down, that I'd let God down, that I'd let the people around me down, or, you know, that I'd spent all this time preparing but for no reason, because it wasn't worth it in the end. You know, moments where you spend time learning a song to sing on Sunday, and then it gets to Sunday and we don't even do it. You know, that feels like a little bit of a waste, but my perspective changed because there is no such thing as wasteful worship. You know, Matthew chapter 26 from verse 6 says, meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany, and while he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. The disciples were indignant when they saw this. What a waste, they said. It could have been sold for a higher price and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, replied, why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. I tell you the truth. Wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. You know, there's no such thing as wasteful worship. You know, when you choose to do what you do as an act of worship, it is never to waste. Because our worship, it's not an event. It's not something we do here on Sunday morning. It's not a specific action. Worship is an orientation. Worship is when our actions exalt God above all else. So to answer the question, did I really just waste my time? The answer is no. Because what you do is never to waste, even if it didn't pan out the way that you thought it would. You know, in that scripture, Jesus said, why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? And you know, often in these moments, we can be so quick to criticize ourselves. You know, why didn't I do it differently? You know, why didn't I take the cake out of the oven when I was supposed to? So quick to criticize ourselves, but when your actions are an act of worship, you know, it's a sweet, sweet fragrance to our God. You know this morning that Jesus sees your works as a good thing. And take heart that, like the woman in the scripture, God will never forget the good works that you do. Even when the result doesn't look like what you thought it would, God will never forget the good works that you do. And knowing and understanding the why behind what you do is so important. Because the why is the motivator. You know, the why is what keeps us going when the results don't meet our expectations. The why is what keeps us going when we are feeling discouraged and disappointed. So this morning, what is your why? What is your why? You know, if we look in that passage, the woman poured out the perfume for one reason and one reason only, and that was to worship God. You know, when our why is that we're worshiping God, that motivation can take us through disappointment. It can take us through discouragement. You know, Colossians chapter 3 from verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. You know, when we work in our doing, we do it as an act of worship. And you know, have you ever heard the question, if a tree falls in a forest and no one is around to hear it, does it still make a sound? You can debate that later over coffee. I don't know, does it? You know, if nobody sees, knows, or notices the lengths that you go to serve your God, you know, is it still an offering of worship to Him? Does God still see it? Does God still notice it? Is it still a sweet fragrance to God? The answer is yes. Even if nobody sees the work that you're doing, the lengths that you go to, God sees it. God sees it. You know, even when it doesn't go as planned, when it feels like it was a waste of time, when plans change, when things happen, situations arise, your actions or your worship is a beautiful alabaster jar poured out to Jesus. You know, God sees your heart. God sees your effort. God sees your surrender. You know, notice in the scripture we read earlier how Jesus reacted to the woman's worship. You know, who was the first person to stand up to her defense against the critics? It was Jesus. You know, in your work, God's got your back. God's got your back. You know, we remember that the feelings, what we feel, it's not always the truth. You know, what you feel isn't always the truth. You know, what is the measure that we use for our feelings? You know, we can ask ourselves a couple of questions. How does what I'm feeling align with the Word of God? You know, I feel like it's a waste of time, but His Word says that it wasn't. How do my feelings line up with the Word of God? You know, my feelings say that I'm really disappointed because it didn't go the way I wanted, but the Word says that God sees it and it was a beautiful act of worship to Him. You know, maybe at the moment you find yourself on this journey of learning to trust God's process through the ups and the downs, learning to trust God's process. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust the Lord completely and don't depend on your own knowledge. With every step you take, think about what He wants, and He will help you to go the right way." You know, the beautiful thing about this is that as we take the steps out in trusting God, He promises that He will help you go the right way. He will direct our steps. The Holy Spirit is right there to work in us, to gently lead us on our journey. And when we trust God, He promises to lead us and help us. And so, did I really just waste my time? The answer is no. You know, in our work, in our worship, in our generosity, in our going on the mission, When we operate from an orientation of worship, it changes your perspective. It changed my perspective. It changes our outlook. You know, what we do is never to waste. It's never missed by God. He sees you and He knows your heart. You know, this morning, if you're carrying disappointment, if you're carrying discouragement, if you maybe you felt like the mission that God's given to us has been a lot to carry. And maybe it's been a big expectation on yourself and you're wondering why things aren't working out the way you thought they would. You know, this morning, allow the Holy Spirit to bring revelation and open our eyes of understanding, to see, understand, and to know God's heart for us. You know, if you're on that journey, if you're in the process, the Holy Spirit wants to bring healing this morning. You know, let's take a moment to ask God to reveal to us, how He sees our generosity, the things we do, the seeds that we sow. Be encouraged this morning that God sees you, that God hears you. God hears your disappointment. God sees your discouragement. Psalm 56 verse 8 says, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You've collected all my tears in your bottle. You've recorded each one in your book." You know, God sees you, God hears you, and He wants to bring healing into your life. You know, God desires for each of us to continually to reveal His Holy Spirit, to bring life into you, into your situation, into your thoughts, into your feelings. You know, this is a daily process that we're on. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." You know, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You know, God wants to bring healing and freedom for you, that not only would you be set free from what has held you back, from these feelings that have kept you bound, but that you would be spurred on to break new ground, spurred on to new things, that your healing would be a beacon of hope, a beacon of light, and a beacon of healing for others, that your testimony would be so powerful. So this week, choose to orientate yourself in a position of worship, just in your everyday, even in the mundane things. We do them as an act of worship. You know, let all that you do be a beautiful outpouring of worship to God. And let's have faith together, trust and belief that God will bring a great result in His perfect time. You know, in a moment, the team's going to lead us in worship. And in this moment and throughout our week, let's ask God to continually reveal His heart for us, that we would have eyes to see how He sees us, how He cares for us, and know that God cares for you so deeply. So just as I close, if you would like prayer for any reason this morning, the altar will be open as the team lead us in worship. Our team would love to pray for you. We'd love to stand with you and believe with you. But why don't we stand to our feet this morning? I'm just going to pray and then we're going to worship. Lord God, thank You so much for Your grace, for Your empowerment upon us, God. God, we thank You that Your grace is all we need. God, I thank You for what You've given to us, God, the gifts, the talents. God, I thank You for the opportunities You've given to us, for the places and spaces that You've appointed us to, God. God, I pray that right now that You would orientate us toward Yourself, God. God, that our orientation would be one of worship. God, that in our going, that in our doing, that in our works, that we would worship You with our whole hearts, God. God, I thank You that You see us and You hear us. God, and I pray that You would speak to us with direction, that You would lead us where You would want us to go. God, thank You that we don't have to walk this journey without You, God. God, I thank You that You're working in the hearts of people.